I'm Berto, and this is Modern Immigrant. Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Modern Immigrant, or I should say, welcome to a special episode of Modern Immigrant. Today, we're going to be touching on a very, very important issue that just took place back in June. Today, we're going to be talking about the overruling of Roe v. Wade, and what does that mean for us immigrants and Latinx. Recently, we learned that there has been an overruling and a change that is impacting the abortion laws and the abortion access in the United States. I'm not a specialist in this topic, and that's why I brought Raquel with us today. Raquel is the Associate Director of Raíz and Latinx Campaigns at Planned Parenthood. Raquel is also a proud immigrant from Guatemala, so she's going to be talking about her own immigration experience and how being an immigrant is impacting the work that she's doing today in helping Latinx communities accessing abortion and reproduction rights. In this interview, we cover what it means, the overruling, we cover the bans, we cover what and how is that impacted immigrants and Latinx immigrants. We talk about barriers, we talk about cost of abortion, we talk about what can we do as a community now facing this huge issue and how we can all come together. I hope that you get to enjoy this episode. There's also tons of resources that Raquel is going to be sharing with us. So I will put them down in the description of this video so you can go click, access, and research yourself a little bit more on this topic and also on the work that Raíz is doing for the Latinx community. Thank you so much for being here. Remember that you can follow us at Modern Immigrant. You can check out also our website, modernimmigrant.com. And don't forget to subscribe. No matter where you're listening or watching us, subscribing is super important for the podcast and for these stories to be able to get to new listeners and to new people. So thank you so much for being here on another week. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you learn as much as I did. So welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Modern Immigrant. I'm so excited about this episode. This is, let's say, a special episode, a little bit different from the ones that we usually record. I am so glad, Raquel, that you're here with us today. So welcome to Modern Immigrant.
Thank you, Reto, for having me. I'm really excited to be part of this Modern Immigrant podcast journey that you've taken listeners through in the past couple of years.
This is really, we're going to be touching and talking about a really important topic today. And before we start doing that, I would love for you to introduce yourself and tell us your role and what you do at the Raíz and Latinx campaigns for Planned Parenthood. And that way we can get to know you a little bit more.
Yes. So hi, everybody. My name is Raquel Cruz Juarez. I use pronouns she and ella. So on my 9-to-5, I am the director of Raíz and Latinx campaigns at Planned Parenthood Federation of America. What does that mean, right? It's such a heavy title, but Raíz is a very special program that I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit more through my story, but the program is essentially a space where Latinx people can see themselves reflected in the reproductive rights movement. So I'm talking about our moms, our tias, our uncles, our cousins that maybe didn't talk about sexuality, maybe didn't talk about intimacy, maybe didn't talk about their bodies or access to safe and legal abortion. But we know that Latinx exist out there that do believe in the access to safe and legal abortion. And so Raíz does that. They provide that space. So we are a program that spans across 20 states. So we are in 20 states currently. And in each one of those states, we have a staff or an organizer dedicated to organizing in their community, giving resources to our communities in Spanish and in English and in different formats and guiding people through political things, but also resources and also navigating how people find their voices to be able to advocate for reproductive rights. So we do like both like our program through the lens of just resource sharing, but also, you know, these peak moments of like electoral work or these peak moments, legislative sessions, that's how our organizers really get involved in their community. But the program is actually like very special to me because when I first started out with Planned Parenthood, I was an organizer. I reside in Las Vegas, Nevada, by the way. So shout out to listeners in Nevada. And when I first started at Planned Parenthood, I was an organizer, and that was almost 10 years ago. It was 9 years ago. And so being here now as a director of a program across 20 states is just like a true dream for little immigrant me that, you know, was learning the ins and outs of the political world in the United States a few years back.
That is just so beautiful, Raquel. Thank you for giving us that kind of background information. And as you were talking and sharing what Raiz does, I feel so much connection with the mission, because I feel like a lot of the times we're struggling as immigrants or as Latinas navigating the system and what just, you know, things mean. And you were saying that you provided in both English and Spanish, like having that information, especially when it's about political things that are not necessarily our strength, having that in your own language can be a huge, huge impact and change.
Yeah, for sure. I'm so glad that you said that, Vero, because I think back on my mom, right? So I always give a shout out to my mom because she's the reason why I'm here. You know, she's also an immigrant woman from Guatemala that migrated here and was, you know, going through the transitions of coming from her home country to the United States. And she had to not only relearn mannerisms here in the United States socially, but also understand, like, politically, where do I fit? Socially, where do I fit? Who am I? And honestly, through my many years at Planned Parenthood, I have interacted with a lot of immigrant women that haven't gotten a pap smear in many years since they left their home country out of fear or out of, like, disinformation. And so I'm so happy that not only our Raiz organizers, but our Black organizing program, our youth organizing program can talk to these folks and be able to say, the resources are out here. You just needed maybe like somebody to guide you, but you've got that information and we can help you through that. So I feel it.
I love it. Yeah. No, I identify with that medical system struggle so, so much. And you're a little bit in the beginning, you share parts of your immigration saying that you're also an immigrant. And yeah, something that we always talk about at Modern Immigrant is that immigration stories and journeys and how that kind of connects us with what we're doing right now. So I would love for you to use this space to share part of your own immigration story and how do you think it's connected to, or how did you feel like it's related to what you do?
Yes. Well, thanks for providing that space because when I was really young, I started organizing in immigration, but much of my career has been around repro. And I always try to bring back where I come from. And so I was born in Guatemala. So Guatemala is the first Central American country south of Mexico. And I'm 30 years old. So I was born in 1992. And my story is a little bit different than what folks would think like an immigration story. I understand that it comes from a lot of privilege, but also there's a lot of sacrifice in there for my parents as well. And so I was born in Guatemala and I was there until I was a third grader. And then from there, my parents migrated to California and I was there until I was in sixth grade. And then we went back to Guatemala. So we kind of did that in a couple of different experiences. You know, a couple years in Guatemala, a couple years here. And finally, they did decide to settle here. Well, in Nevada, in northern Nevada, during high school, because my mom, you know, had a professional degree in Guatemala, but it didn't, I don't know if you have seen some of these experiences with other immigrants, but it almost felt as if like when folks come to this country, they have to start from scratch. They have to start at zero. And my mom told me like, I don't want that for you. I want you to build a professional career. And we're going to, you know, build the sacrifice to make sure that our family stays here. And so I went to high school in Northern Nevada. And those were like formative years because I was nervous. And I was always angry, you know, that my parents moved me back and forth because reflecting back, if I'm being very honest, I would have liked to stay in Guatemala. It's my home country. It's like in my veins, it's who I am. And I go back as much as I can, but it's hard, cuesta sometimes to go back. And so what I've tried to do is after high school, I went to college and then I started working at Planned Parenthood. And the reason why I mentioned that I always reflect back on that is because I always say that even in my bio, right, is that like I have to make sure that when I think about a big concept, right, let's say I'm talking about just like the simple act of accessing abortion, I think of it through the immigration lens. I think of it as not only me, because I'm a younger immigrant, right? But my mom, who's an immigrant that's older, how does an immigrant approach access to abortion? And I think it forms a lot of our opinions because in Guatemala, for example, for those of you that are listening, Central America is one of the most restrictive areas in Latin America when it comes to accessing abortion. And so I remember being a very young Raquel in the streets of Guatemala. And I remember seeing these caravans of cars with a bunch of men standing in the back with these blown up images, trying to create fear in the community. And they were spewing a lot of anti-abortion rhetoric. And I didn't know what that meant when I was little, you know, I was just kind of scared. And I remember my mom's hand, you know, like it was like holding me really tight, like we were going to wait until these cars passed. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm here, I reflect back on that experience as a little Raquel, like what that meant. And now I understood what that was. Those were anti-abortion men in the moment that were trying to create fear for people accessing abortion. And, you know, I understand the responsibility that I have as an immigrant to make sure that I bring those voices of immigrants living in the United States, but also the responsibility of reflecting what access to abortion looks like on the global scale. Mm-hmm. We've seen in the past couple of months, La Marea Verde, right? Like these green bandanas that I have behind me represent the feminist movement in Latin America and the work that they're doing to access even just create access to abortion in Latin America. So those reflections and those moments have really formed who I am in this space. And that's why I am unapologetically immigrant and I'm unapologetically Central American, because we are erased a lot from the narrative. So when I do my job, you know, I'm always like, hey, let's think about it through this lens. It's not just about younger immigrants. It's about older immigrants. It's not just about, you know, folks that have become citizens. It's about folks that can't vote in this moment or that won't be able to vote, because there's different facets of it. So I reflect back on it all the time, and I keep Guatemala really deep in my heart all the time.
That is so beautiful, Raquel. Thank you for sharing part of your story. And you inspire me, like hearing you say that with so much passion. And like, I really feel like as immigrants, just bringing that lens and bringing that part of who we are when we come from to different spaces and different fields, that's how we can create a change. That's how we all put like nuestro granito, no? Like that's what we're trying to do. So I truly appreciate that. And I truly appreciate that you're doing that work for the community. I do want to put listeners into context, and that's why you're here, to explain to us and speak about. I know it's been a few months since we hear about the Supreme Court's decision of the overturned of Roe versus Wade, which to me, first time as an immigrant, I immigrated here about 9 years ago. First time I hear that, right? I was like, what is that name? Let me Google it. I understood what he meant based on Instagram stories and posts and what people were talking, but I really didn't understand what that was. The long-term impact, I guess. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What does it mean, especially for us immigrants and Latinx communities?
Yes. And Vero, I'm so glad that you talked about how you had to do your own research, because mm-hmm. that's something that I always tell folks. We can't assume what people know. We can't assume what immigrants know and not know. Because actually, like, immigrants are really smart folks. Like, we have to understand the context of our home country and now understand the context of our home here. So that's a lot of information, right? Yeah. So I guess I'll start by saying that I didn't grow up with Planned Parenthood being a household name for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't grow up with us talking about access to abortion, right? Like, my parents have always been pretty progressive, and I appreciate and love them for that. We didn't discuss what access to abortion meant, much less what, who and what Roe v. Wade was. So to kind of go back to step one, mm-hmm. Roe v. Wade is a Supreme Court decision that was decided in 1973, and it affirmed and gave people the right to decide whether or not they wanted to have an abortion. And so this has been going on for many years, right? Like, this has been the law of the land for many years. However, this summer, the Supreme Court overturned it, which meant that they eliminated the federal constitutional right to abortion. It's a right that has been for us and with us for nearly 50 years. And so this court essentially removed the power for individuals, for us to control our own bodies, our lives, and our personal medical decisions, and it handed it to politicians. And so that's kind of, and this happened in June. So this is super fresh. And I know folks, you know, you mentioned Instagram and like, it's such a great avenue for us to learn about these things. But, you know, there's a lot of also disinformation out there. So I'm glad that we're like kind of talking about this. But honestly, it was a dangerous and shocking decision. And it opened the gates for states across the country to ban and criminalize abortion because the Constitution accepted this as a right federally. And now it's in the power of states. So that's why you might have been seeing on Instagram and in different places that people that are living in places where they are banning abortions, like Texas, are going to places like New Mexico, like Nevada, like Colorado to get an abortion because their own politicians and elected officials that are anti-abortion in their state are limiting it and banning it.
Right. And I just want to say something. Thank you for giving us that explanation so clear and so to the point. I want to ask you something. I'm always unapologetic about the mistakes I made in English and understanding things. And I have always been saying Roe versus, not V. Is that a versus or
you know
versus
what?
Doesn't exist?
You know, I used to say versus too, but then okay. I started seeing people saying V. Maybe it's the immigrant in us, right?
As soon as you said V, I was like, where did I, why do I say versus? So no, I just wanted, you know, put it out there. I don't know if I made a mistake when I asked you.
No, not at all. You know, and that's the beauty of it, right? We have to talk about this in a language that speaks to us and who we are. And so like, no, you didn't make a mistake. That's how we say it.
And Raquel, you're saying, and I can only like, just to put people again into context, when we started talking, we said how difficult it is sometimes for an immigrant to access a pap smear or just a visit to their, you know, primary care provider. Like, I need to go to the doctor. I know many immigrants, myself, my family, that had such a hard time navigating the system of finding an appointment, knowing where to go to get services. And in our countries, we had our doctor. We, you know, that was usually like a family friend. Like, we were always like, it was super easy to access care. And now imagine that same scenario, but when you're trying to get an abortion, like when it's a topic that's still taboo, when there's states that don't allow it, when you can freely ask for the service. So I want to talk about the consequences and the impact that this bans and overrule is having in the Latinx and immigrant communities, because now you say, okay, you can come to Washington, for example, where I live, and get an abortion here, but I don't live nearby. And how do I get there? And once I get there, how do I pay for it? Like, all these things that we need to then consider, like the traveling. How do I get the money to do that, right? Like, so can we talk a little bit about, yeah, the impact? Because some people are saying, well, but you can still do it in some states. What's the big deal?
Yes. And I think that when people say that, it's people that are affluent, that have had access, that have had a support system. And that's simply not the case for everybody. And a veces it's much less the case for immigrants. And so I'm glad you brought that up because, unfortunately, as we know, the impacts of this, of overturning Roe v. Wade will be largely felt by Black, Latinx, indigenous people, immigrants, people living with low incomes, young people, and people in rural areas. And these are communities who have already faced long barriers to abortion access due to systemic barriers, discrimination, and white supremacy, if I'm putting it blankly, you know? And so, as I mentioned, it's been almost 3 months since the Supreme Court overturned the Roe v. Wade. And so that means that nearly a third of the United States have abortion bans in effect. Mm-hmm. This means that one in three American women have already lost access to the right to control their bodies. So to put it into greater context, I said that Raíz is in 20 states. As of now, 17 states have abortion bans into effect. 17. And we know that Latinx people and immigrants exist in every single state of the United States. So that means that in one of those states, there is an immigrant person who's pregnant who is going to have a barrier accessing healthcare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we think back on Roe v. Wade and like, this was a really monumental case, but it was never enough. Mm-hmm. It never was, because this is where the concept of reproductive justice comes in that I'd love listeners to like, maybe do some research about it, is that reproductive justice is the framework that I operate under because I'm an immigrant, I'm a person of color, I'm a Latina, I'm a Guatemalan Central American. All of these markers of who I am arguably prevent me from getting access, but also it opens the gamut of like what of who I am, right? For example, we can have a healthcare, an abortion clinic down the street from me, but if there's not a bus route for a person on the other side of town to come to it, that means access to abortion is not available to that person. Then that's reproductive justice, right? Being able to raise our family how we want to have a family how we desire, taking into account all these other environmental markers of who we are. And so, you know, I just think back and like, you know, when I talk about barriers, it's like language, rural places, right? I live in Nevada. I live in Las Vegas, but a great part of the state is rural. And there is a shortage of people that can access, or there's a shortage of providers in rural areas. It's a fact that we know. Mm-hmm. People that are struggling to make ends meet. Like you mentioned, the cost. The longer that you're pregnant, the more the abortion will likely cost. Right. And also the time you have to take off to actually travel and do everything you need to do. It's, you know, like we started out hopeful and now I'm feeling like the effects of it because mm-hmm. I think back on a person that is an immigrant and maybe wants to go to the closest abortion clinic, but there's an immigration checkpoint between that person's home and the health center. Do you risk potentially, you know, putting yourself at risk with immigration, you know, like with ICE or what have you, or do you get, or do you risk it and go to get an abortion? That's unfair. People shouldn't have to do that.
That was exactly, I kept thinking about, yeah, immigration status as an added barrier from the long list of barriers, immigration status. And as immigrants, insurance can be an issue as well.
Yes. If they have insurance, right?
If you right. Like the only access is like private insurance. And then all of these other implications come in. So like you need to have a job. And to have a job, you need to have a visa or a status. And if you have, right? So what are the things... I don't know. I know this is complex and I know this episode is to provide information, but I also want to provide certain resources as talking about Raiz and the work you do. What can we do as Latinx, as immigrants that are trying to or that will encounter the need to get an abortion? Where to go? And I know that's a super broad question. So I understand if, you know, I'm happy to also add links and resources to this episode. Hopefully the list is long of things we can
do. No, and I'm glad that we're getting to the place also where the good thing is that there are resources, you know, we just have to find them and we can provide them. And so I think the very first thing is if you go to abortionfinder.org, there's also a Spanish version of it. Once you click into the website, you can find your closest healthcare center there that can help you and that can, and that these are health centers that are not disguised as health centers, right? Because there are these things called crisis pregnancy prevention centers. And these are people that are like lying to folks and creating disinformation and panic. If you go to abortionfinder.org, you'll be able to find actual health centers that you can actually access abortion. But that's only accessing abortion, right? What if you need support financially? Recently, we've been seeing a lot of abortion funds pop up. What is an abortion fund? And it's essentially a place where community is driving the financial support to provide to those people that need access to abortion. So if you're a young person that maybe is like in college and needs help paying for an abortion, you can find your local abortion and they can help you and assess you and provide that financial support. And you can find all the funds at abortionfunds.org. So it'll be abortionfinder.org to find a health center and abortionfunds.org to find the fund.
I do have a quick question in between those two, which is the money and the cost. So for people listening that have no idea how much abortion costs, well, I don't know the price, or again, based on the recent bans, is that impacting cost as well? Like, okay, you can go to another state. It's legal in another state to get abortion, but then how do you pay for it? Is it through insurance or it's always out of pocket?
More than likely, it's going to be out of pocket. Okay. And honestly, there's always going to be cost associated with it, because if you have to travel out of your state, the financial implications of that, right, that's going to be a big barrier for folks. It depends, and that's something they should discuss with your healthcare provider, but it is always going to have some type of financial burden on folks. Mm. Yes.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
And I'm just glad you have that question, because if we're being honest, like Latinx people, you know, we are very immigrants. We are nuanced folks that care about immigration, but we also care about everything else. We care about the economy. We care about the environment. We care about our elders. And it's great that you're having these like real discussions of like, yeah, like being pregnant and then wanting not to be could financially, you know, is going to provide a financial barrier for you if you don't have the means. And that's just a matter of fact. So thank you for bringing that up, Vero.
No, and thanks to you for bringing up the complexity too of being Latinx and being an immigrant, right? And the impact and the all the things that we're thinking about, like three steps ahead, right? Like, how is this going to impact my family? How is this going to impact my health, my financial, you know, stability? So it's a big problem when you don't make it possible and when you don't make it easy, as you were saying.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if I look to kind of like you saying, looking ahead, but also looking broadly, what else, how can we provide more resources, or what can Latinx and immigrant folks plug into right now too? Obviously, if there is a Raiz organizer in your community, you can always approach these folks, and they are incredible people with their own lived experience. They're Latinx themselves. Some of them are also immigrants, DACA recipients, you know, what have you. They have their own, like, you know, positionality in how they do this work. And there you can find, and I'm sure we can drop some of the links later, but you can find like where Raiz is at on our website, and also emailing folks to your local Planned Parenthood. You know, the obvious one is obviously Planned Parenthood is always here for you, but we're not everywhere. You know, there are some independent, incredible abortion providers that have been doing this work for many years as well, and filling the gaps where Planned Parenthood can't be, and vice versa. And I think honestly, one of the other things that seems very simple, but it's actually very complicated, is having discussions with your family about it. You know, like you mentioned that this is still a like quote unquote taboo subject.
Yes.
Even me, that I do this work a lot. Like, I mean, I talk to my suegros, my tios, even my own mom that shared her abortion story with me. And I'm so proud of her for doing that. We need to be able to talk about these things in a nuanced way. Like, I never want to force somebody to share their story. But I think that, you know, we deserve that opportunity of knowledge. I mean, you know, we have the privilege to dream of a better future for our generations to come. And why not try to bring our elders with us, you know, or people that maybe never had the opportunity to learn and were just brought up in this mindset. I've seen a lot of hunger from older Latinas, especially lately, of like wanting to learn what this means. So I think that that's probably one of the most radical acts that you can do personally in your life, is discussing it, you know, over un cafecito, over la cena, whatever that might look like.
Totally. And especially, I think it's a difficult topic for our communities, especially for those generations above us that, maybe we haven't even tried to open up. And part of the beauty of what you're saying is that my final kind of question was related to something I read on your bio when I was emailing back and forth for this interview, and it was to build power in our communities. There was something around building communities and building networks. And that's like a major passion and mission I also have with this podcast, which is to connect, right, with other immigrants, connect with your story, share, open up, talk about it, which is exactly what you're saying in regards to abortion. And the impact that that's going to have on people's feeling that they're not alone is so, so powerful. So I guess my very open question to you will be, how can we do that? And you're talking about having those conversations. Do you have any other ways in which the listeners, from whatever they're at, whatever, you know, job, position, or interest they have, but how can they also provide that community building in order to, yeah, face this?
Thank you. And, you know, I think we started out with learning about my immigration story. And so, like, sharing your story, like I mentioned, is the very first thing that I started doing and then my mom felt compelled to do, right? Like, this podcast is a testament to the power of storytelling, because I think that most of the time, even we see elected officials that don't look like us, that don't represent us, we see leaders in our community sometimes that aren't like us. So when we share our story, you'll be surprised who will hear it and will feel reflected into, like, wow, like I actually feel connected to Raquel. I actually feel connected to Vero, like from one piece that they mentioned. Cause like we've had that moment, right, where we know we hear something and we're like, and it stays with us, right? Yes. So like sharing your story, I think in this moment, right, like we know that elections are coming up. If folks want to get involved in that way, you can also visit different websites to do electoral work, or you can visit our bandsoff.org website in Espanol, which is called bastadecontrolarlos.org. It has a little bit more information about what are the bans, what's happening, and how it affects maybe your state, how it can affect your community. I think for me, it's also like reflecting back on my own privilege, ¿verdad? Like, to be able to do this work and sit here with you is a privilege on its own, especially as an immigrant. And so like, what responsibility do I have to bring another person along with me to have them understand it? And I've always told folks that Latinx people in particular, like, storytelling is actually kind of hard, because that's how we preserve our culture and our community. And it's very personal. And so if maybe you all just bring someone along and listen to them and hear that, like, access to abortion should be a fact, period, but that people approach it differently, and you take the time to educate and to learn, like, that is the biggest part of the work, is like giving people the time to come into their own, because we had that privilege to do that, you know? But yeah, I reflect back on my work and I feel sentimental. It's Latinx Heritage Month, you know? And these are great moments to be able to plug into your community, you know? Like, chances are there's always somebody in your community doing this work. We just maybe don't see them. Those are like the unsung heroes, you know?
100%. And there's people out there, and there's people out there that we can connect with and that will accept, as you're saying, a rhythm of things, that will listen. I feel like listening is such a huge part on what you're talking about, and like giving people their time to approach these conversations. Raquel, I'm so thankful that we had the opportunity to connect and to talk about this. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to add as we say goodbye, maybe a final message for the immigrants and the Latinx that are listening that might be feeling fear, despair, so much hopeless, because I felt that way when I read the news. Something that you would like to add to say goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, something that I wish maybe like Raquel as a younger age would have heard is that there are more of us, right? Like, there are more people that are immigrants that care about this. There are more people in this world that want to make sure that you thrive, and you don't just survive, but you thrive, you know? And especially, like, to be honest with you, there's not a lot of Central American people out there that maybe like feel like they can talk about this. And so like, no estás solo, you know, like, we're here, and whether we come from different countries, like immigrants, the concept of resiliency is great, but it's also like we are all whole people already, and like, you matter, you know, your orientation to the work matters, and you're not alone. And always, like, you know, sharing your story is powerful, but it also, if you don't want to share it, that's okay. You know, like, it's your approach to the work and you're valid exactly how you are.
Thank you so much for saying that, because I one time I told one person that was like, I'm not ready to share my story, like, over Instagram. And I told her that's exactly why listening to other stories can be so powerful, right? Like, you can listen, you can observe, you can support someone, until you're ready. And you don't have to do it ever either. But I'm saying, like, that's why we're here, to build that support. And so I'm so glad that you're also mentioning that piece. So, so important.
No, thank you. Honestly, this is a lovely
moment. Thank you so much. I feel so happy and so thankful with Gati that connected us. And again, thank you so much for coming to Modern Immigrant. I'm going to add and do my best to add all the links that were mentioned down in the description of this episode. And if people want to connect, can people connect directly to you, or there's an Instagram account or a page where people can follow Raiz?
Well, for now, they can follow on Twitter and on Facebook, Latinos for PP. And so there are specific, like, Spanish content and information there. And I think that there is an email for Raizes there as well. We're trying to build it out, but that's where they can go. They can find all that info there.
That is perfect. Is there a Raiz in Washington from those 20 states? I was going to ask you.
Yes, I was going to say, what part of Washington are you in?
I'm in Seattle.
Yes, so we have organizers in Spokane right now. We have two Raiz organizers in Washington, and they've been doing some really cool work. They actually, they were one of the first people on the ground doing COVID relief efforts. So they go to all of the farm fields, you know, and like support people for COVID vaccine, disinformation. They've been doing some great work. So I can also send you like their own web. They have a Raiz of Planned Parenthood Greater Washington. I'll send you the links with Gati. Yes. Because you should definitely, like, if you want a local perspective too, and it's a badass immigrant that's also leading the work there too.
Oh,
so
that's so awesome. I'm so glad to hear that there's some support out here as well.
Yes.
And for everyone else listening, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm Modern Immigrant. I'll see you next time. Thank you, Raquel.